Today, we'd like to study the title of Dagon in the 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. To online with people, we'd like to suggest the three questions. Number one, in verse 2, when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Why did the Philistines probably set the Ark of God by Dagon? Question 2. In verses 3 and 4, and when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was a Dagon fallen on its face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. So they took a Dagon and set it in its place again, and when they arose early the next morning, there was a Dagon fallen on its face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of its hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. What divine characteristic can we see? Last question, what heart about polytheism and compromise should we have? 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 11, also the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died by Philistines. Then verse 15 to 18, Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim, and he could not see. Then the man or messenger said to Eli, I am he who came from the battle between Israel and Philistine, and I fled today from the battle line. And he said, what happened, my son? So the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God has been captured by Philistines. Then it happened, when he made mention of the Ark of God, that Eli fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken and died. For the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Then, chapter 5, verse 1, the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer, where they stole, to Ashdod. Ashdod is one of the five big cities. In 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 17, these are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned as a trespass offering to the Lord. So one for Ashdod, so big city of Philistine, one for Gaza, second big city, one for Ashkelon, third big city, one for Gath, fourth big city, one for Ekron, the fifth big cities. So Philistine had five big cities, so each city had own lord, L-O-R-D, or mayor. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Why? They, as a polytheist, believed that the more gods, the more blessed, the more secured, so that they put the Ark of God, which is a symbol of the presence of God, by Dagon. Dagon, which is the idol god of rain and harvest. rain and harvest. Verse 3, and when the people of Ashdod, of Philistines, arose early in the morning, there was a Dagon, idol god, of rain and harvest, fallen on its face to the earth, or to the ground, before the ark of the Lord. So they took a Dagon and set it in its place again. But next day, verse 4, when they arose early the next morning, there was a Dagon fallen on its face to the ground or to the earth before the ark of the Lord. In addition, the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off or broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon, torso, or stump was left, only body was left over it. Here we can see God's characteristics. The first commandment of the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. God doesn't want compromise with any other god. You shall have no other gods before me. Also, the second commandment of the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 to 6, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. God doesn't want you make any idols. You shall not bow down to them, worship them, nor serve them. God doesn't want you worship other gods than Jehovah God. Because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Because God is jealous, visiting the iniquity, the sin of the fathers, either worship considered as a serious sin upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands and to those who love me and keep my commandments. So here we can see God's character is jealous God. So God wants people should worship or serve only one God, not any other God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on this thing. First, meditate on this thing. Here, whatever things are pure. Meditate this. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, did you do? Next, do this. So do whatever things is pure. So you should not worship other gods than Jehovah God. And the God of peace will be with you. Then you will have God's peace. If you worship with other gods, you would be messed up and you would be confused. No peace. So then, verse 5, therefore, neither the priest of Dagon, nor any who come into Dagon's house or Dagon's temple, tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. Basically, those people feared over the ark of God. Verse 6, but the hand of the Lord was heavy, or was harsh on the people of Ashdod, of Philistines, and he ravaged or angered against them and struck them with tumors or boils, both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, the ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, because his hand is harsh toward us, and Dagon our God. Therefore, they sent and gathered to themselves all the lords of the Philistines, or alike all mayors of a major five cities, and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, all the five lords answered, "Let the ark of God of Israel be carried away to Gath." So we moved to another big city of a Philistine, Gath. So they carried the ark of the God of Israel away. So it was, after they had carried it away, that the hand of the Lord was against that city with a very great destruction. And he struck the men of the city, both small and great, so adults or children, and tumors broke out on them. So already two citizens were struck down. One city is Ashdod, second big city, Gath. Now third big city, verse 10, therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron, another city. So it was as the ark of God came to Ekron, so entered into Ekron city, that the Ekronites, the residents of Ekron, cried out saying, "They have brought the ark of God of Israel to us in order to kill us and our people." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines. Here, five big cities, lords, the leaders, mayors, to meet together and said, "Send away the ark of God of Israel and let it go back to its own place," which means to Israel. So next chapter, they are sending the ark of God into Israel so that it does not kill us and our people. For there was a deadly destruction through all the city. The hand of God was very heavy, very harsh there. And the man who did not die was stricken with the tumors or boils, and the cry out over the city went up to heaven. Here is, we should learn our heart about polytheism and the compromise. According to the Bible, we can understand anything else which we love more than God, considered as an idol God. So if you love something else more than God, you know, that object considered as an idol. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 7, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." So today, last days, close to the time when Jesus is coming again in heaven. "For men, people will be lovers of themselves." They love themselves more than God. "Also lovers of money." They love money more than God. So we had a plan to trip Eastern Europe. So Eastern European today, they love money more than anything else. You know, they are not interested in any religion. So they just came out of communism of the Soviet Union. So lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, you know, bad speaker, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. They don't like a good thing. Betrayers, headstrong, very persistent, haughty, arrogant, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So something else which they love rather than God. Having a form of godliness, but outside looks from godliness, but denying its power. So no power, no evidence. And from such people turn away. For of these sort are those who creep into the household and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So always learning, they didn't show up any works, any light, any evidence. So Jesus also, Matthew 24, verse 24 said, for false Christ and false prophets in the last day will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, in order to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So they want to stumble the elect, the born again Christian. So therefore, we should discern how. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. For the word of God is living and powerful. So the word of God is not dead. It's living and powerful. How? And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. So it's hard to divide, you know, which part is belong to soul, which part is spirit, because always soul and spirit together and combined. But the word of God can divide which part belong to soul, which part belong to spirit, such as soul, such as will, or intention, sense, conscience, you know, that is belong to soul. But the other part, it belongs to spirit. And of joints and marrow. So this is a visible example. The backbone, over there a lot of joints, but backbone and inside of there marrow. So the word of God can divide which part belongs to joints, which part belongs to marrow. That's an example. And is a discerner. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts, of intents of the heart. Thoughts, like a brainstorming thought, but intents, particular, you want to do something, you know, that kind of intention, intent of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, God's sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him. God knows everything to whom we must give account. So, by the word of God, we can discern our hearts about the polytheism and the compromise. So, God doesn't want us to be compromised with any commercialism, any religion, you know, any culture. So, we stand on the word of God, because the word of God is living and powerful. Let's see each question answer. In verse 2, when the Philistine took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Why did the Philistines likely set the Ark of God by Dagon? Because the Philistines as a polytheist. Polytheists believe that the more gods, the more blessed. Question 2, in verses 3 and 4, and when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was a Dagon fallen on its face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. So they took a Dagon and set it in its place again. And when they arose early the next morning, there was a Dagon fallen on its face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of his hand were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. What divine characters can we see? So God is a jealous God. Our God is a jealous God. God wants to be worshipped, excluding any other gods by us. Question 2. What heart about politics and compromise should we have? So we should not have any politism, any compromise. We should keep pure. So whatever things are pure, we should meditate, do it. Then the peace of God will be put upon us. Let's just sing song, the last song on bulletin.